You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we get the results of the Marquette University Law School poll released today and hear how Wisconsin feels about the presidential and Senate candidates, along with key policy issues.
First, the presidential and Senate races are getting a lot of attention, but there's a major election closer to home that could have a big impact on life here in Wisconsin.
The state legislature is up for grabs, and voters around the state will weigh in to see if Republicans will keep control of both chambers of the legislature.
You can follow these races at wisconsinvote.org. Sean Johnson joins us now with a look at the race and some key matchups. He's WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, welcome back.
Hey, Rob.
Well, as we mentioned, Republicans currently control both the State Assembly and the State Senate. Can you give us the numbers there?
So in the State Senate, it's a 19-14 Republican majority. In the State Assembly, it's even bigger, a 63-36 seat majority. And they, aside from a very small period, kind of around the time of those recalls, Republicans have had majorities in Wisconsin's legislature since that 2010 wave election when they took power. And one of the things that's been able to help them keep that power is they got to redraw the political maps in 2011. And that is the playing field, basically, that candidates for the state legislature face today.
And how many seats are up for grabs in each chamber?
So in the assembly, every seat is officially up for election every couple of years. The whole shebang. However, there are just not that many competitive races in the assembly. In fact, a lot of races where there's only one choice. So, in theory, everybody's elected every 2 years in the assembly. In practice, it doesn't really play out that way. In the Senate, you've got half of the Senate up every couple years. So they serve 4 year terms there.
And then I did a count. Half of the Senate is, just like you're saying, uncontested.
Right. And, even those races that are contested where you have a Republican and a Democrat and they're out going to town halls and actively campaigning, you can make an argument in a lot of those races that just by the numbers, unless we see kind of a national wave election, they aren't all that competitive, many of them.
Well, let's stop in the assembly for a moment. It sounds like from the numbers you gave, it would be a really tall order for Democrats to flip that side.
Yeah, they would need 14 seats to flip. So they'd need to have a net gain of 14 seats to have 50 to 49 majority in the state assembly. And, it's just not going to happen.
The Vegas odds are not really Vegas actually did that.
Right. Vegas, I don't know. They're probably not looking at the Wisconsin Assembly.
The Assembly, yeah.
So it's just a really tall order for them, again, based on where they're starting, a 36-seat minority. And then just, the map, again, is so key to the outcome of Assembly races. It would take a political tsunami, whatever, superlative you want to throw in there to change things in the assembly.
The Senate, though, from the numbers you gave, they'd only have to flip a few seats. Democrats would only have to flip a few seats to get a narrow majority there.
Yeah, even though the Senate is under that same map, it's always close in that you're only a few seats away. So in the Senate, Democrats would need to flip three seats to take back the majority. Jen Schilling, the Senate Democratic Minority Leader, said yesterday she thinks they're going to get 1-2. So she's not predicting we're going to ride in and take back everything, keeping the expectations manageable, I think, in the Senate. But Senator Schilling was saying, though, it kind of depends on what kind of a year this is. These local races get nationalized. And so they haven't quite figured out what the Trump effect is going to be in Wisconsin and how it's going to affect races for Senate.
We'll get into that a little more with our next guest. But, Sean, are there some key Senate races that people are thinking, oh, these could be the ones that are really competitive?
Yeah, there are a few that Democrats are targeting. And the one that they've been targeting, pretty much from the get-go, you knew it would be a competitive race, is the 18th State Senate District. And we actually have some sad news to report today in the 18th State Senate District. Outgoing Senator Rick Gudex, who had announced earlier this year he would not seek re-election, has died today from a self-inflicted gunshot to the chest. So, we mentioned that because we're talking about that race up there.
That particular seat. Yeah.
So, that's an investigation that's ongoing. Obviously, Very sad news.
And his colleagues from both parties, we've seen a lot of tributes and condolences from them through the day today.
Yeah, you have from both sides of the aisle, people pouring out condolences. Very sad to hear what's happened to Senator Gudex, who leaves behind a family.
Well, keeping that tragedy in mind, let's go to the politics of it.
To the politics of it, the 18th Senate District is a very close district by the numbers, and that's why no matter what happened, that was going to be one of those races that was really focused on this year. I mean, you look in 2012, which was the last time that seat was up. It was the last time we had a presidential election, and so the circumstances were the same, and Republicans won the seat with just over 50% of the vote. And so it's a close race. You have Winnebago County, which tends to go for Democrats up there, Fond du Lac, which goes for Republicans. And it's kind of a competition of which of those counties can turn out the vote and win the day to win that Senate seat.
And other Senate districts to watch.
Yeah, I think the next closest potentially Senate seat, or the one that Democrats would consider their number two target, would be the 14th Senate District. And that's currently held by Republican Senator Luther Olson. You know, this is not one that was close in 2012 exactly. Senator Olson had 56% of the vote. I mean, remember, 2012 was a pretty good year for Democrats. Barack Obama won Wisconsin handily. So it's not like the 14th Senate District is an easy haul for Democrats. But they've really focused on that this year. They've got a guy running up there who's the mayor of Waupaca, and Brian Smith, who Democrats feel like they've got a pretty decent shot with. And they've tried to focus on a couple issues with Senator Olson. One, the Wisconsin Veterans Home at King. There have been a number of complaints about the quality of care there, and they basically tried to lay that at Olson's doorstep. King is in the 14th Senate District. They've also tried to tie a number of these revelations that came out in the leaks as part of that John Doe investigation, that stuff that came out in The Guardian recently. They've tried to attach that to Olson as well, because he was on the legislature's budget committee, which voted through some of the provisions related to lead paint, which were mentioned as part of that investigation.
Before I let you go, Sean, one of the big things at stake, a state budget coming out next year, could look really different if it's all Republicans in charge versus one of those chambers being in Democratic hands.
Yeah, absolutely. If it's a split legislature with a Republican governor, it would give Democrats essentially a chance to stop whatever Governor Walker put out there, or at least influence it. And the last time we had a split legislature, split control, the budget got wrapped up in October, I believe. So you could see some serious gridlock if there's two-party control. If it's all Republicans, I think you'd probably see some form of a continuation of what you've seen for the past several sessions.
Sean, thanks as always.
You're welcome, Rob.
That's WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. Tim Dale joins us now for more on state legislative races. He's professor and chair of political science and public administration at UW-La Crosse. Tim, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be here.
Well, we got the lay of the land in this election. In general, Tim, do you see voters having a lot of focus and interest on these state legislative races?
Well, I think that voters are definitely interested in what happens in state legislative races. But as your question alludes to, voter fatigue at this point in Wisconsin and around the country may be affecting people's ability to pay attention. And so the exhaustion over hearing about the presidential race constantly, I think, tends to make people tune out of politics somewhat, and that may have a negative impact on people's willingness to become educated on their local races.
So given that, what sways a voter on these races? Is it seeing that D or R next to a candidate's name, or is it old-fashioned door-to-door campaigning or issues? What do people pay attention to the extent they pay attention?
Yeah, party identification is a really big factor, and so we definitely see the party affiliation probably having the most impact on people's voting, particularly because some of these local races are what we would call low information races, where the voters don't know a lot about the candidates. Certainly there is a percentage of voters who have followed the races closely, but really the deciding factor oftentimes comes down to which candidate is representing the party that's going to do well, and maybe even well on other parts of the ballot. And that's where we see that down ballot effect. That being said, There are all kinds of local issues, as Sean was just talking about several of them in several of those races, where people are known locally. They're known for their business practices. They're known for controversies they may have been involved in over the last few years. Local newspapers tend to cover those things fairly heavily. And so there certainly are issues. I think some of the races, probably more than others, have those local issues as central. But with so many other races going on at the state and national level, that's taken a lot of attention away.
Let's talk about the coattail effect that, say, a presidential candidate doing well or poorly might have. Does that end up affecting these state legislative races? And given a weird presidential year, what are you looking for this time?
Yeah, well, I think it's political scientists all over the country are watching with a lot of interest because we have theories and proven track records for predicting these things. But this may be the year that we have to rewrite all the textbooks. But for example, right now in the state of Wisconsin, both Feingold and Johnson are polling better than each of their respective presidential candidates. And that, so what that tells us is that there may be a coattails effect, but it might be for something like a Senate race and down ballot races more so than it would be for the presidential race. So if Johnson is going to have an impact on local Republican races, that might be where local Republicans want to look for a boost in their numbers. Same with Feingold. There's probably more enthusiasm in the state for those senatorial candidates within the respective parties than there is at the presidential side.
We're talking about the legislative elections in Wisconsin with Tim Dale. He's political science professor at UW-La Crosse.
And you can join us at 800-642-1234. Are you paying attention to the assembly or state senate race in your area? Are you volunteering maybe for a campaign? Or is this even on your radar? Is there a contest in your district? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're picking up our conversation with Tim Dale from UW-La Crosse, looking at the campaign for Wisconsin State Legislature.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you watching the legislative contest in your area, your district? Are you involved in one, maybe as a campaign volunteer? Do you track these things, or are they usually under your radar? Or is there even a contest in your area? Do you have an uncontested seat? Do you think it should not be that way? And what do you think about redistricting and how it's affected Wisconsin's state legislative elections? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Tim, let's talk about those uncontested races. Lots of them. About, not quite, but about half of the seats up for grabs this year. There's one candidate on the ballot for people. What do you think about that?
Well, that is usually what happens if there's a perception that a race is not going to be competitive. And sometimes when you see the district lines being redrawn, the expectation of what effect that's going to have on the race in that particular district causes it to be very difficult for parties to recruit candidates. I don't think there's a single district where a party is happy that they don't have a candidate. Having that blank spot in press coverage, particularly when it comes to spending money on the other side, that's not a position a party wants to be in. But at the same time, there are logistical considerations that sometimes mean that those candidates are really hard to get onto the ballot when there's a perception of a non-competitive race.
As a political scientist, what do you think about the impact on our concept of representative government if there's, you know, no contest in so many districts?
Yeah, it definitely calls it into question, if not causes a problem for our defense of democracy. We like to have choices. That's how we know a decision has been democratic, when the choice exists. I think that people tend to feel comfortable overall because even where you have non-competitive districts, the legislature is still competitive in the halls of government. And so it's an interesting twist to the American electoral system. When you have a first-past-the-post winner-take-all system, you end up with a competition that happens at the governmental level that you don't always get at the electoral level. And so when voters feel like they don't have a choice, there's a lot of disillusionment that happens. But then that choice sometimes becomes more clear when you see the legislative calendar startup, and there's real competition over issues.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Jim is with us in Rice Lake. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I have a comment, and what's your comment, your guest response? In 2010, the Republicans gained control of both houses, the legislature and the governorship. And what they did is they used the conservative think tank ALEC, the American Legislative and Economic Council, to gerrymander radically all of Wisconsin's Senate and Assembly, State and Assembly seats, as well as its congressional districts. And, for example, in 2012, 51% of Wisconsinites voted for Democrats in the Assembly, but only 37% were seated, which is now in the federal courts, because this is a brazen constitutional violation of the concept of one man, one woman, one vote. It's unethical, and I think it's both politically and morally disgusting. And I'd like to hear your guest response.
Jim, thanks for the call. And that is in the courts as part of a wider challenge to some changes in Wisconsin voting law, Tim. Jim finds it disgusting.
Well, and it certainly seems to fly in the face of the one-person, one-vote principle. The problem that the courts have had with getting rid of these gerrymandering practices is that the states are constitutionally protected to draw their own boundaries. And so it's also arguably a violation of the Constitution for the federal government to tell a state government how it ought to draw its district lines. And so it becomes an issue of federalism, and this it kind of brings it into that more complicated sphere of politics. But on the face, it doesn't seem like good practice in a democracy, and yet any party who's in control, it works very hard to put things in their favor. And so this is definitely being worked out in the courts right now, and it's going to be really interesting to see what the future of this looks like, because voters certainly have almost across the board become disgusted with practices that seem strange to them when it takes away their ability to have a voice in the process.
Jim, thanks for that call. We're talking about the campaign for Wisconsin State Legislature with Tim Dale, political scientist at UW-La Crosse. We go next to Carlene in Brooklyn. Carlene, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am a regular volunteer sometimes organizer with campaigns. And one of the things that I've noticed in this cycle is that it's been a lot harder to recruit volunteers. I worked on Barack Obama's campaign both in 2008 and in 2012. And although I really appreciate the candidacy of a woman and that Russ Feingold is running again, the general electorate does not seem to be nearly as enthusiastic and excited about getting out and knocking on doors and things like that. So we have seen, just more apathy on the part of volunteers this time around than in the past. And so that's kind of upsetting.
Carlene, can I ask, you mentioned working for a presidential campaign. Have you worked on some of these local or legislative campaigns?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In 2010, as a matter of fact, I'm south of Madison and worked really hard out here to help get Janice Ringhand elected. At that point, it was to the state assembly, and then also to the Senate. I live in the 80th Assembly District, and just like in some of the areas where it's strongly Republican, Sonny Pope is running unopposed right now, and I'm sure Republicans aren't very pleased about that, as I'm not very pleased about some districts where there's not a Democrat running for much. The same reasons that Professor Dale named.
And Carlene, I want to jump in and give Tim Dale a chance to respond. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and your observations. Seeing, Tim, not as many people getting involved in local campaigns, but also she's seeing more apathy she perceives in general this year in election 2016.
Yes, and I think the caller makes a great point, and it's something that is certainly worth noting. The top of the ticket races, particularly the presidential race, can have a really big impact on people's enthusiasm at those lower levels. And as the caller indicated, that really is one of the reasons why we're seeing a fewer people volunteering for campaigns, even if they would be interested in doing something like that. The presidential race has put a damper just because of the lack of enthusiasm for candidates on both sides.
Carlene, thanks for the call. You go next to Hemet in Eau Claire. Hi.
I live in Eau Claire. I'm independent, but I wanted to ask the history behind Wisconsin not having a nonpartisan district and commission like Iowa has. What's the problem with that?
Emmett, thanks for the call. Yeah, Iowa and some other states, they take it out of the party's hands. In Wisconsin, we've had single-party control for the Democrats for a while, Republicans for a while. Neither party seem to want to go that way, Tim.
Right, and the problem is that when you are the party in control, there's certainly incentive to keep control of the process. The states themselves have to make that decision. And so it takes a concerted effort on the part of the voters to push for that kind of thing. And so until we see people running for office on that principle and winning, it's going to be difficult because the party in control is going to want to be the one to stay in control.
And Tim, as we wrap up, just in our last minute, a low interest type of race, these assembly and Senate races, do you want to make the case that we should have way higher interest? These things can have a lot of effect on our lives.
Absolutely. Actually, regardless of what people think about the national races, state and local races have more impact on our day-to-day lives, arguably, than the presidential race, as an impact on education, taxes, highways. These are all things day-to-day that people care about. And so caring about local races and voting in local races is just as important as voting for national races.
Presidential races, traditionally high turnout. Do you think that that high turnout is going to sway those local races?
It could, and what's interesting about this year is we may see more turnout driven by dislike for the opposition candidate as opposed to passion for the candidate on the side of the voter. And so I don't expect that we are going to see a turnout that's very much lower, but that's something that we're going to be watching, and it may even change by the time the election comes around how tired people are of this particular campaign season.
Tim, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Tim Dale. He's political science professor and chair of that department at UW-La Crosse, talking about the race for control of Wisconsin's legislature. We also heard earlier on this topic from Sean Johnson, WPR's Capitol Bureau chief. You can follow those and other campaigns at wisconsinvote.org and share your thoughts on legislative elections, redistricting, and so many uncontested elections over on the Central Time Facebook page.